Well, when it comes to health and making sure that we have a vibrant economy, one thing's for certain, we need to take care of ourselves. And according to some research, only 15% of South Africans currently have private medical aid cover. That's according to the Council for Medical Schemes. And this statistic stands in sharp contrast to the growing financial and social pressures that are facing the country's professionals. To tell us more, we join on the line by Craig Comrie, the CEO of ProfMed. Craig, great to have you back on the show, and thank you so much for your time, sir.
Yeah, great to be with you, Gugu. Hope you're well this evening.
Always, always well, and delighted to speak to you, sir. You always leave us a lot more enriched just to understand the full value of medical aid and medical aid cover for us as South Africans, which is beyond not, it's not a luxury anymore, but really is a necessity to make sure that we're able to access good health care. And maybe that's a good starting point just for us to reflect on how, I guess, South Africans are growing in terms of their demand, appetite, need, but also consideration for medical aid cover in the last few years.
Yeah, one of the key issues that we've seen is the affordability concerns around healthcare in general. So whether it is medical aid cover or even just affording to take some money out of your pocket and go visit a doctor, you're finding that those appointments are a growing well above your ability to pay. And so globally, it is a concern that healthcare inflation or the price of accessing healthcare is growing to an extent that people no longer can just afford it. In fact, recent research shows that the number one reason for individuals and families to declare bankruptcy relates to the health, the payment of healthcare services for that family member when you don't have sufficient cover to actually fund those services that are needed. And those things sneak up on everybody.
They definitely do, especially if you happen to be young, vibrant, workaholic who is trying to build a career and their family and take care of so many other irons on the fire. And then you find yourself unwell. And maybe that's where we can go to with this conversation, just to understand the importance of healthcare for professionals and how it is that they might be trying to be penny pinchers by postponing access to good quality healthcare.
Yes, it is something that's happening, and we've seen the alarming trend since before COVID, the fact that many of the ambitions and goals of those who have spent years of studying land up in a space where their families have funded some part of their education and are waiting and hoping for the payday that comes once even a professional is employed. And we're seeing the pressure in certainly the doctor spaces, but even the general professions out there, the accountants and engineers and attorneys, that they're studying for 7 or 9 years and then looking forward to receiving an income. And we've seen just the delays between finishing your amazing studying and getting your career really on the front foot and getting employment or being able to start a small practice is something that still eludes many to just get moving and trying to get that income and trying to get that return on the years of investment from those family and in many cases friends as well.
I'm quite keen to understand, you know, if there is a link between I guess just the heightened level of illness and stress, whether it's non-communicable illnesses or even heightened concerns around mental health and well-being versus the lack of access, affordability and coverage that we're witnessing in South Africa's society of professionals.
Yeah, it is a very South African context because I gather what you find is the competition, the global competition for professionally qualified individuals is huge. So we have the natural trend that professionals often, once they're qualified, they don't want to just get going with their own practices or can't find employment in South Africa. So they'll go overseas for a while and try get more experience before returning home, maybe with some extra foreign currency, and then try and start their own businesses here. And so we see just almost a missing grouping between being qualified and those that are in their practices and doing reasonably well. And what happens there is that they don't get into more permanent type of employment situations, which give you a stable income. And we've seen a lot of accountants and engineers work for overseas businesses. So the emergence of this type of contractual employment, where the young generation also likes to determine when they want to work. And if they do want to work, they certainly want to work for foreign currencies that are a bit stronger than the rand. And so while they're working in these more temporary or contract type of roles, they aren't funding pension funds and medical scheme cover like it used to be. And so it really is important to look at some of the emerging healthcare trends that we've seen coming through. One of the big things, and I look after a scheme that looks after professionals exclusively, yes. So ProfMed, and we've seen the growing level of mental health, diagnosed mental health conditions come through. So we're talking about major depression, bipolar, and other significant mental health strains, specifically in that grouping, ages 15 to 35. I think when previously it used to be the midlife crisis where we saw mental health conditions come through quite a bit, but it has changed in the last 10 years. And so we see the stresses in that early grouping, probably because of the stresses of the economy, unemployment and insecurities that we have had with us since COVID as well.
This raises such an interesting point, right? Because that age group as well is probably young, vibrant, and most productive in any economy, because that's really where your the brain force, the power force is you know, in terms of energy, expertise, gaining skills, and much of the working population that should be contributing to the economy. Does this also then speak to, I guess, an interesting cocktail of factors that contribute to a lack of adequate healthcare access? Number one, affordability, which we touched on, growing family dynamics and responsibilities like black tax or the sandwich generation. So adding pressure to individuals under the age of 35 trying to grow their own families, look after themselves and then their parents. And all of this happening in an economy where we do see that it's a tough market. Anyone who's employed is actually really fortunate to be employed or even economically active within their own space. I've mentioned a whole cocktail of many, many themes, but I'm quite keen to understand, you know, if this does play an impact as well, Craig, into the dynamics we see.
There's no doubt. So I'm an accountant out of profession, so I can tell you that the stresses that exist between a small population group that provides a lot of employment for others comes from that professional grouping. So in a well-skilled small business space, it's the professionals that actually provide on average up to from 8 to 10 jobs for other families. And we know that for each person employed in South Africa, they usually are looking after 8 other people. So when you use that that to the power effect, we need more active population contributing to the economy, but we certainly need more competitiveness in the global context to bring the economy back. And we are seeing some green shoots, but for me, one of the key issues is always trying to see how many of our professionals are remaining in South Africa and how many are returning from those overseas shores. And so the guys returning, it has increased year on year for the last 5 years, but we're off a small base. So of 10 professionals that leave our country to go elsewhere in the world, we're only seeing 2 of them return. And previous years, there was only 1 of them that were returning on average. And so we are seeing a doubling of that, which is a good sign. But we'd like to keep all our professionals because they form the base of capital and capital or a space where professionals tend to access capital a lot easier just because they are qualified. So the potentials are seen by those large financial institutions as a better risk for investment. And as they invest into their own businesses, they have that opportunity to employ others. And so we need to produce more and retain more professionals in South Africa. And in that way, we alleviate things like, or we increase their number of taxpayers in the country. There's more tax revenue in the fiscus that could pursue some of the big social spends that we are already committed to as a country. And so you can see the cycle effect or the synergistic effect of why we feel professionals are so important. It's so important for us to retain them.
100%. We often have this conversation, Craig, and I guess it's will always come up until we get some kind of clarity regarding universal access to healthcare and NHI. Not much was mentioned about it in the budget speech. And as we know, there's several court cases that are being faced at the moment. And I guess many of us also want to tie this back to understanding what does this mean then for the argument for universal access to healthcare, but in an affordable manner for all South Africans?
Yeah, the point is that we need a greater GDP in the country. We need the economic development to take place, create as much of an environment for the economics to kick in. And as we, as a whole country become wealthier, there's opportunities to help more people in our country. So that's part of it. And when it comes to the NHI conversation, I think the legal cases are going to take us a long time to resolve. But what we can't actually wait for is to make some of the very real changes we can make now. Often the quote is quite clear, as you started off this evening, to say that 15% of South Africans have medical scheme coverage. But we know from the Stats SA surveys that came out in 2024 that in fact 40% of South Africans spend money in private healthcare. So instead of sitting in the queues in the state facilities, they actually are attending a local GP or clinic, a private facility, so that they can get the medicine, get healthy again, and get back to work. Because if they aren't at work, they often don't earn an income. And so we're seeing that the amount of money spent in the private sector far surpasses the 15% that sit in medical schemes. But what we have to do is we have to still reform the system, both in the private and the public sector, to make better use of all the resources that we have. And you know what, in South Africa, we've got fantastic skills. Our doctors are trained all in the public sector, and they make such a huge difference to the healthcare access equation. And when you put the nursing together with that, we have an asset that we have to find a better way of helping, supporting, and creating more access then to everybody. Private hospitals, for instance, have occupancy rates anywhere between 65 and probably around 80%. That means there's 20 to 35% that that they can help with. If the government would look at placing some of those long queues in the private facilities, why can't that happen?
100%. I completely agree with you there. Craig, our conversations always stir up much intrigue from our listeners and team members that actually engage with Kaibiz. So we have about two voice notes that we'll play with you and perhaps just gauge your feedback to some that might be questions or even opinions that might be shared. We'll take a listen to the first voice note from BB asking about not having medical aid after the age of 35.
Quick one for your guest. Is it true that if you don't take medical aid by the age of 35, then you will be charged more as a sort of a penalty for not having medical aid in your younger years?
Hope you got that question there, Craig, and I think a very pertinent one. Medical aid after the age of 35, is there a risk premium? Will you be charged more?
There absolutely is, and so a lot of people don't realize that, so they might be willing while they're young and they think they're superhuman, might be willing to pay for their healthcare out of their pocket until age 35. And the minute you cross that 35-year barrier, you get into a space where medical schemes will charge you what they call late joiner penalties. And those late joiner penalties can be anywhere between 5 and 50%. And you pay that the rest of your life. So it's not a matter if you change medical schemes that it disappears. But you pay that for the rest of your life then, if you're part of the medical scheme system. And so you have to try get in early. The whole theory around that is that you need to fund and save some of your contributions for when you are older. We've got some very smart actuaries that will tell you that in the last year of your life, you will spend more than what you have contributed, more than 100% of what you have contributed over your lifetime to a medical scheme, if you joined a medical scheme at age 30. So it gives you an idea of why those late joiner penalties are in place. So thanks, Bibi, for that question. Very good one.
Thanks for that. And thanks for responding as well, Craig. So I'm assuming for anyone who's under the age of 35, if you are fortunate enough to be employed or economically active, then try to get the most basic access that you can to a medical aid cover, just that you start building up on that record. Would that be a good idea?
Yeah, buy a hospital plan. Some of them range between, you know, from 1,000 rand a month, and it sounds a lot, but you could be funding up to 10,000 rand of your own expenses if you don't get in early. We've seen some cases just recently of over 10 million rand for one case in hospital. So obviously those are the more scary ones that happen, and there's not many of them, but you want to have the cover. You want to have the right cover.
Got you. Because anything can happen in life, as you say. We've got another voice note from Tabang. Let's take a listen to this one.
Hey, Cisco, as the medical aid, it's such a painful one. I think over 30% of my salary goes towards medical aid. Just slightly under goes towards medical aid because of, you know, my wife doesn't work. I have to have everyone covered. And it's just become so expensive. And companies no longer subsidize, you know, it's very difficult to get a job in a company where you'll get some form of subsidy included in your package that will have medical aid. Benefits are such a I'm at the moment, because of where I am, like, in my life, I'm looking for something that has benefits, and I can tell you that I'm really struggling, and you can't live without it. I mean, you can try, but until there's something wrong, and then all of a sudden you realize I actually really need this.
Sure, very, very, very clear thoughts that are being shared there by Tabang, Craig. I'm quite keen to get your feedback there, because as he said, you need it, you can't let it go, you're covering your family, you're trying your best to do the responsible thing, but sheesh, heavy is the head. I'm quite keen to get your thoughts as to, you know, how he should be reviewing this. I know you're not a financial advisor or can't give that kind of advice, but just guidelines that he should be considering when speaking to his broker or financial advisor, and even directly with his medical aid to consider his options.
Now, unlike some of your short-term type of insurance that you get, medical schemes are in fact a mutual-based fund, so they're non-profit. I know there are many of the administrators that make profits, but from a medical scheme perspective, it's more like a co-op or a Stockfell. So just remember that what you're usually paying is what people are claiming in general from the medical scheme. And so for every 100 rand that you pay with a medical scheme, often 90% of it, or 90 rand, is going to pay claims. So it gives you an idea that to manage claims is where the difficulty lies when it comes to affordability, partially because we have such fewer doctors and resources in the country. So they can charge more than if we had plentiful. So basic demand and supply sum. So it really is important that when you decide on a medical scheme, the way that you can buy smaller cover is only where you understand your healthcare risks best. So make sure that you at least have a hospital, a comprehensive hospital cover in the process. For the day-to-day type of stuff, you can actually save for those out of your own, or you can find medical schemes that offer varying products that will give you the day-to-day doctors and medicine type of cover. But just start at a stage where you at least have what is termed a hospital plan that covers you for both hospital and, in fact, from legislation, that guarantees you access to cover for 25 chronic conditions as well. So start with that, and then work as you understand your risk, work yourself from there into a space where you can purchase more and more cover as your affordability improves.
100%. Craig, there's a lot. There's so many layers. And as you've highlighted, in as much as the status quo right now does call on South Africans to be a lot more proactive with access to medical health cover, I'm assuming the industry is also changing and evolving to meet consumers at their point of need. So there's a lot to discuss, but you've been very helpful in guiding all of us and our listeners, Bibi and Tabang, in terms of what they can consider. Thank you again for your time, Craig.
Thank you. Keep well.
fantastic. That is Craig Comrie, the CEO of ProfMed, one of the leading medical aid providers in South Africa, giving us some context around the trade-off that so many South Africans find themselves balancing: career success versus health security. So you've got the job, but you've also got bills to pay. You've got family and loved ones to take care of. And you might say, you know what, I'll sacrifice my own medical aid for that of my loved ones. Or I'll choose a lower premium or lower rate. Or maybe I just won't get it at all. But at what cost? Because that might actually come at a consequence of your health and well-being, especially given the growing numbers of mental health diagnoses that's happening, as Craig mentioned, for people largely aged between 15 and 35. So that is certainly something that we need to be mindful of and aware. But as you have heard, Thabang and Bibi, just a few of the many Kaipers listeners who are sharing their perspective, always keen to get your thoughts on this one. So please do reach out, get in touch, and share your voice notes with us here on Kaya Biz. 0636880959.